been a while, Brett. How you been?
I've been good. Good winter. We're back at it. A lot of fireworks the first week.
Oh, because of those damn torpedo bats that your brother.
Well, you guys, you guys cheat out there in New York. You always have. You always have.
2009 is way too long ago. We got to do whatever we got to do. We'll take steroids if that's going to help us get a championship at this point, Brett. It's been a while. How you doing, man? You good?
I'm doing good.
So,
yeah.
What is your thought? I mean, obviously, as a jumping off point into a deeper conversation, I'm sure you spoke to Aaron about this. I mean, you've seen it. Other players outside the Yankees now starting to mess around and experiment. Your overall first reaction to the torpedo bat?
Well, you know, on my show yesterday, I had Chuck Shupp, who is the head of Louisville Slugger for a long time, and he's still in the industry. He's with Chandler Bats. And I wanted to get his perspective from the guys that make the bats. What's really going on? And he said, Booney, this technology, we started this a few years ago, and they're just starting to notice now. My layman take is this, and my ex-player take on how this all went down. I don't think you're going to see guys like Aaron Judge, like Ohtani, like Freeman, like Mookie Betts, stars that have been around a long time. I think Aaron Judge, you're going to say, hey, you want this torpedo bat? And he's going to say, I'm doing just fine hitting 50-plus a year with my bat. But it is an interesting technology to me. And the more I see all these metrics, all these data points that's been bringing in, that's coming into sports, not only baseball, but at all the major sports, I see it going in this direction. I think you're going to see some of the, you know, decent players now, the younger players really utilize this technology. But I think in 15 years from now, you're going to be like a golfer. I think that the young kids are going to start at 15 years old. You go into a lab, you get hooked up with all these, whatever on your body. It downloads your swing into a computer and they say, hey, we'll see you later. And they send you a dozen bats. What you should use. It's like going to get fit for a driver. You know, they put you on the machine, you leave, they send you a driver fit to your specs a week later. I think that's where we're headed. It's interesting. Well, I never thought about it.
Yeah, no, neither have we. We really had no reason to think about that. But there are certain restrictions on the construction of golf balls and things that you could put on the face of golf clubs. So do you imagine, and there's not enough data yet to really create one opinion one way or the other, but do you believe the data is going to be so overwhelming supporting the surge in offensive explosion with these type of bats that baseball is going to have to modify them? What's the course correction at some point, do you think, if any?
I don't think there's going to be any. I think it's no different than a golfer going to the tee, having his perfect specs. And you look down, first of all, it's got to look good to the eye. If I look down at my bat, it's got to be pleasing to my eye. And if I look at my bat and then I look down, you know, an example of Ken Griffey Jr., it might not add up. And it's kind of like, I don't know how you do it with that thing. But so it's got to be really individualized. But I see golfers today, they get a driver, they move those weights around on the head, they find their sweet spot. It's a different golf club than we're going to go to Dick's Sporting Goods and get off the rack. Yep. It's going to be specified for them. If the standard is a 46-inch driver and this particular PGA Pro, they're going to make it 45 and 5/17ths if that's what it makes to be perfect for his swing path. I think that's all they're going to do with baseball is make it individualized. You're going to have your own bat for your swing path, and as long as it stays within the rules of baseball, I'm hearing all these things, and I don't know enough about it. I'm not educated enough, but I hear, you know, the Twitter noise is, oh, they're putting the hard part of the bat here. What the hell's the hard part of the bat? What are you going to find the hard part? No, there's a sweet spot, okay, and it's about this big, and for some guys, maybe they're going to move it a quarter of an inch down. Maybe they're going to move it a quarter of an inch towards the end of the barrel, but you're still going to have that same sweet spot. It's not like you're making the sweet spot big. When I was coming up, we had 20 bats to choose from, just roughly. Mm-hmm. And we went down what looked good to our eye. Some had big barrels, skinny handles. Some had thick handles, skinny barrels. So it's preference. It's what do you like, what works for your swing.
The only thing that I would counter with, Brett, is saying that, okay, you're using the golf example, which we all understand, but this is not an individual sport. I mean, there's another side to this. The pitchers don't say, well, you know what, I like this ball better with different seams. They're throwing the same ball. Isn't this an advantage then that the hitters would have?
Well, I mean, okay. How many baseball bats do you think we have the option at Louisville Slugger right now?
Right, I'm sure a million.
40? 40 or 50. Well, there's not 40 or not 40 or 50 baseballs.
But couldn't you just there's get one. Whatever one you want to your point? I mean, couldn't you just get the any bat to your liking, whichever one it may be?
Right, but who do you think made those bats? I'll give you an example. C-271, one of the most popular when I was coming up. Griffey used it. A-Rod used it. It was the classic, the C-271. Where did it come from? George Brett and Rod Carew collaborated, got together back in the day with Louisville, and they developed the C-271. Hmm. So every bat out there comes from somebody, some player in the past that went in, developed their own bat, and then it kind of became a staple, like one of the main ones to choose from. And they're still making them. I remember Mark McGuire had a bat, and it was the M, I think it was the MM something. And I picked it up one day. I said, this feels good. What is this? He goes, I made my own bat. I took a handle from this, and I took a head from this, and I combined it. Guys were doing that all the time. Guys have always been mixing and matching an R-161 head with a C-271 handle. You can do that anytime you want. You can call Louisville Slugger and say, make me this with this, and they're going to kind of roll their eyes and go, okay.
Yeah.
And they'll make it for you. They'll make anything for you. Believe me, when we're scuffling, I've tried some things during my day where it's like, you know, give me the worst head that I've ever could imagine looking at. Maybe that's what I need right now. So we're crazy when it comes to bats, but this is really interesting technology. And unless I have it in my hand and down there and looking at it and the way it jumps off the bat, I really can't give you a hands-on how this is really reacting to a regular bat. I know there's no difference. The sweet spot's just moving around.
Well,
and I don't know.
You could try different bats, or you could just do the old-fashioned way, the old-fashioned slug.
Exactly. Right. Exactly. And that's a topic for another day.
That is, yeah. Not for this show. That's for sure. But Brett, let me get Brett Boone with us here. BT and Sal on the fan. All right. So the removal of the mass from the end of the bat, conventionally dispersed evenly, and now put more in a central spot and elongating the barrel, if you will. Dumb question coming, but doesn't that make you a little bit more vulnerable at the end of a bat? And if so, why wouldn't pitchers just work to pitch outside so that you're hitting, theoretically, maybe not every time, but a greater percentage of less of a bat on the outside pitch?
Well, the thing is, like I said, there's a sweet spot, and it's called the sweet spot for a reason. It's a small spot. Anybody that hits the ball off the end of the bat consistently, the ball isn't going to go. It's going to be dead. Mm-hmm. The great hitters find a way to get the good part of the bat on the ball consistently. And that means just because it's a pitch on the outside corner, upper quadrant, the great hitters are going to throw the barrel on that thing and hit it in the seats in right field. So that's never going to change.
Okay.
You're just moving around. I'll give you a quick example. In the early 2000s, I was in spring training. I remember a guy's hanging over. He wants an autograph, but he says, hey, Brett, I've got your grandfather's bat here. Well, my eyes perked up. I said, Grandpa Ray? Wow. He said, yeah, game used. I said, can I borrow that bat? He said, sure. I went in. I put it on my scale. I did all my metrics with it. It came out. It was a 35-inch, 36-ounce. Sounds heavy, right?
Yeah.
In today's standard.
That's heavy.
But it's the way it was built. All the weight was distributed in the handle. Was a big old thick handle, kind of a conservative barrel. And I'll tell you what, I swung it. It was 36 ounces. It felt like my 34, 32 weight wise because of the way it was distributed. So through time, through the generations, the type of bats that were popular really changed. That's why back in the day, it wasn't because these guys in the 40s or 50s are stronger than Aaron Judge and Ohtani. It was the style of bat they used. That's why they were heavier. And you just had more density, but you had these big, thick handles, and it would run through the label. I kind of like those versus the skinny handle, big barrel.
Did you keep Grandpa Ray's bat? What'd you do with that one?
No, I weighed it and this and that. I just kind of made a deal with him. I said, I've never put my hands on one of his game used. And I just wanted to do all the research. And I went on there and put it on my scale. And I said, wow, we could use this today.
That's
awesome.
And
I ended up signing a ball for him and giving the bat back.
Did that pine tar on it?
Yeah.
It did. That's cool. That's a good story.
You could tell it was legit game used. Mm-hmm. It was pretty cool. But I don't think this is just 2025's version of that. All right, another quick one. I know we don't have that much time. In my generation, we grew up on ash bats. Everything was ash. We didn't have maple in 1990 when I signed. It was ash. I played my entire career with ash. During the end of my career, maple started to come into the industry. And you had a lot of young players using it. Some of the veterans were trying the maple. I tried the maple. I didn't like how it felt. It was a different weight dispersion. I didn't like how it sounded off the bat. And it was kind of, I was a creature of habit. A lot of the veteran guys refused, and the great players in the game refused to go to the maple. Well, now you go into a big league locker room, you can't find an ash bat. It's all maple. So I think this is the beginning. I don't know if that's apples to oranges, apples to apples, but I think this is this generation's version of that is, hey, we're all going to have custom bats. And in 15 years, there's not going to be, it's going to be, that's Joe Jones's bat. He's going to have his own personal bat, and there's not going to be numbers and C271s. That's where I think we're going technology-wise.
BT and Sal on the Fan. We're talking with Brett Boone, who's Odyssey MLB Insider. Brett also the host of the Brett Boone Podcast. Insider calls are brought to you by Grainger. For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers professional-grade supplies and solutions made for every industry and backed by product experts. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. You think the Yankees are better this year than they were a year ago, Brett?
No. Okay. Where'd they shore it up? I think Bellinger adds a big time athlete to the mix, can play anywhere. It's going to be interesting to me how Dominguez matures. I think Goldschmidt adds a dynamic, kind of a Rizzo dynamic. He's 37 years old. He's an MVP 4 years ago. But how much has he got in the tank? I think he's got 20 home runs in the tank and a good a guy with a presence.
Yeah.
Jazz Chisholm, I think a year ago when they made that trade, I think they got a better player than they planned. And I think Jazz Chisholm's going to be really good. The thing for me, and the only reason I say no out of hand, is with Heel being on the IL and probably not getting him back by the All-Star break and losing Garrett Cole. Man, that's huge.
Brett, answer it a different way. Do you think there's a chance the Yankees have a better lineup than they did last year?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Because if Bellinger and Goldschmidt come out and have really good years, you're better already. Yeah, you lose Juan Soto, but then you add Chisholm to the mix. Yeah, I think potentially he can be. What is the Martian going to be? Is he everything we talked about? I told Aaron, I said, listen, you get a nickname like the Martian before you've done anything in the big leagues, you better be pretty good. So it's going to be interesting to watch him. I think defensively, they're better. Wells seems to be getting a little bit better. Aaron's really, I wasn't in spring training, but all the reports I'm hearing is Ben Rice looked really good in spring training.
Yes.
And there's a lot of what ifs, you know, that bullpen, how good is it? Mm-hmm. You know, out of the gate, he always starts like that, but Williams, I think it's a good, I love the move in the offseason. When Holmes went to the Mets, you bring in Williams from the Brewers. Weaver goes in that backup role. Loaiza guy, I think, could play a huge role in this, but it seems like we say that every year, and every year he gets hurt. So he's on the mend coming back. There's just a lot of what ifs for me. So far, so good with this crew, though. You know, they got 15 home runs and they played three games. But the funny thing I see is Stroman 6 weeks ago doing I'm a starter. At the time, he was the sixth or the seventh starter. Now he's number three.
He wasn't wrong. Yeah, you're right.
You got to find a way to just weather this storm until you get a little bit healthy, until you get a heel back, until you get a Schmidt back. You know, and I haven't even got to Schmidt yet. He's been down. Mm-hmm. So if you can just weather the storm, play well, get your boys back and healthy. Giancarlo Stanton, who a year ago I always talked about, Judge and Soto made that offense go. But the mere presence of a Giancarlo Stanton in the middle of that lineup makes that team. He's absent. Who knows where he's coming back? That's like a big mystery for me. I hear Giancarlo's got tennis elbow, and now it's like, where is he? So I don't know. And I haven't talked to Aaron about it. I do that on purpose, not talk to him about it, but hopefully he's going to be back. If Stanton comes back, if Heel comes back, if Schmidt comes back, Loaiza, again, these guys are all healthy. This is a hell of a team.
Can you put into context here, Brett, the assuming there's some health here and you put a few more big seasons up on the board, just where Aaron Judge resides on the all-time talent and production landscape, some of the great names that you've seen and played with it against?
I remember a few days ago, I sent Aaron a text. I said, how good is Judge really? And he just goes, pretty damn good. You know, it was a sarcastic text, but it's like, I watch him day in and day out. There's a lot of talk about Ohtani and the other great players, and Soto's a great player. There's nobody on the planet. Aaron Judge offensively is the greatest player on the planet right now. And I think the other guys are a distant second. Healthy, getting off to a hot start. Aaron Judge is the only guy I know walking around that has the ability in today's game, with average not being one of the metrics everybody's judged on. But I can see Aaron Judge, if everything went perfect, the perfect storm, hitting 330 with 70 home runs. Jeez. I don't see anybody else with that capability. The only thing that's going to hinder him from that is they're not going to pitch to him at a certain point.
Yeah.
Almost the Bonds treatment.
Yeah.
I mean, we should be there already. If you pitch to him, you need your head examined. Now, Brett, I don't know.
He's unbelievable.
He's the best that I've ever seen. You make a mistake, not even a mistake. You throw him a pitch that he's supposed to hit, he smashes it. He does damage with it. So no doubt about it, and one of the best ever, and certainly the best that I've ever seen in my life. Now, I don't know if you know this, Brett. This is the first time we've had you on this season. We had your brother Aaron in studio with us, and we play this baseball card game on the station. BT and I do it on our show here. And Aaron wanted to come in and challenge us in our own game. You've referenced before how competitive he is. We both took him out. Two games of PBT beat him. I beat him. How much do you think that bothered your brother Aaron, losing to both of us?
On the surface, he's going to pretend that he's kind of above the fray. And, oh, I'm not going to let that bother me. Hey, those guys beat me. Hey, but deep down, he's going, damn it, I want to win that. And he, believe me, going forward in the future, he's going to bug you to come back. Because he really wants to win. He really does.
Yeah. Not
he
his
really
best
does.
Yeah. Honestly,
no.
Not his best.
Did he play? Was he cool, though? Did he play it off like no big deal? Yeah, no big deal. But that drive home, it was eating at him.
He was a gentleman, but you could tell wearing that L was right. Heavy.
Yeah.
Oh, I knew I was going to get that. That's great, Brett. Hey, Brett, we appreciate your time as always. Look forward to having you on throughout the course of the season. Thank you for your time.
Appreciate it, guys.
Thanks, buddy.
Thank you.
That was
awesome.
Odyssey MLB Insider Brett Boone. Insider calls presented by Grainger, with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by.
We got to pin him soon, too. We got to take him out for the top rope. Get the other Boone. Beat him. Beat Brett.
BT and Sal take on the Boone brothers.
Yeah, let's go. Yeah. If they're up for it. I don't know. Might be a little afraid.
I love the big brother, little brother dynamic. Yep. In this case, literally. We use it figuratively with the Mets and Yankees. But Brett has talked about how competitive Aaron is, and we know it. You could see how fiery and competitive he is, not only in the games, but also
the umps.
You know, yeah, all no that doubt. Stuff. And you know, trying to play it off a little bit. But
it's a long ride back to Connecticut, too, for the skip.
B's got bigger fish to fry, though, with the Diamondbacks in town tonight. We'll get back to the calls when we return. 888-808-1019.